Welcome to episode 44 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski in Pennsylvania. Joining me, as always, Jeff Smith in Washington.
Hello, sir.
You're on your way up to Alaska, though, huh?
Yeah, back for a visit after almost 3 years, so we'll get to see what it's like up there in the middle of January.
Snowy.
Gonna be cold and wet, probably.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Well, this is episode 44 of the Golf Talk Podcast, as I said. If we were a tour golfer, we'd be heading to the back nine of our careers, getting ready for the Champions Tour. Unfortunately, we're just a podcast. Of course, speaking of old, Paul Gordios ended an 11-year drought last week at the Sony Open in Honolulu, of course. 11 years without a win. He'd gone 11 years, 256 tournaments since his last victory. Long enough ago that some players were still using wooden clubs, this article says. Greg Norman was the number one player in the world, and Tiger Woods was still an amateur since the guy last won.
Long time.
Long time. I almost called Cody, the resident Charles Howell III's biggest fan. Chucky 3-6 was, of course, in the lead much of the tournament. Was leading at some points on Sunday, but could not hold off Paul Gordios, along with Luke Donald, who also managed to fail to hold off Paul Gordios. Gordios made three birdies in the final four holes and closed with a 367. Basically came down to eagle chips on the 18th green.
It did, yeah. Chucky 3-6, as you called him, he was up two strokes going into the back nine. Had every opportunity to win. He looked a little nervous to me. I saw him kind of biting his lip and fidgeting a little bit. I think he wanted this one a little too bad. I didn't even know who Paul Gordios was until Sunday. So
we were like 12 when he last won, that's why.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're not even that young, so... It's like pink. It's the new Tiger Red.
Well, pink is the new black, but according to Donald Trump, it's only good for ties and not for swimsuits.
Yeah, I watched that too. That was a disturbing episode.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, he got booted, so there you are.
I was much disturbed. Yeah, the guy with the same name as my wife.
Oh, is that right?
Carrie? Yeah, C-A-R-E-Y.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. He's gone.
My wife is a gay black man,
apparently. Yeah, we're slipping in and out of golf and The Apprentice here, people. So for those of you listening,
Luke Donald, right? That's who we're talking about, right? Not Donald.
Sure, okay.
Luke Donald shot 69, of course, in the final round.
Way to bring that back in.
On a par 70 course, which is really not that great. So, hey, congratulations to Paul Gordios. I mean, Tiger Woods is still yet to win on the PGA Tour in 2007, and yet Paul Gordios.
It's a tragedy. It's been a terrible slump.
Searching for number one, Paul Gordios. He did move up from like 400,000th to like 39th or something in the world rankings.
Well, was he 97th on the money list last year? So this probably means that he's in good stead there.
He might be in the top 100 now. Yeah. Guaranteed he could take the rest of the year off.
Well, the money list is good, but we'll see about the world ranking.
He moved up, I think, to 39th or something. One of the big stories of the week was Tad Fujikawa. Was he 15?
Oh, 16 years old.
He turned
just 16
on Monday, yeah.
16 4 days or 5 days.
He's 5'1". He was in contention. He was within the top 5 at one point on Saturday before kind of fizzling apart a little bit and ending the day at -4 when the leaders were up around -12.
So ended at 20th place, I believe.
He finished in 20th place. Of course, he's 5'1". He qualified for the U.S. Open last year. He's a Hawaiian resident, Hawaiian native. He used to do judo and stuff. Really a feel-good story of the year. You know, he basically almost died several times as a kid. Now he's potentially the next superstar on the PGA Tour at only 16.
At 16 years old.
Unlike, you know, the other Hawaiian who happens to be female.
Well, this
doing
is
something.
Just...
Qualifying for the U.S. Open... Making the cut in a PGA Tour event at 16.
Well, and here's the thing that we love. Here's a guy, he's a teenager, and he's gone out there and he's grabbed the headline, not because he's necessarily got tons and tons of potential in people's eyes, but because he qualified for the Open. The guy was in contention on Saturday, and what an awesome display of golf this guy put on. And it was just fun to watch. I mean, I really enjoyed that. And he, for the Sony people, what a great story this must be for them when their other Hawaiian former amateur doesn't quite live up to expectations. Here's Tad Fujikawa getting in there and just draining putts all over the place, hitting the ball a long way, and all at 16 years old, 5'1".
Yep, credited his judo training as a kid with being able to drive the ball 350 yards on one occasion for all of 5'1". So yet again, the guys on the PGA Tour and even those that aren't even on the PGA Tour making me feel bad about my own driving.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. He knocks the ball 345 yards on what was it, the 18th on Saturday. Hits it right around the corner and knocks it on and finishes the day with an eagle. I saw that drop, and that sure was pretty neat. Felt like felt like Sunday afternoon.
He was born 3.5 months early, trying to cram as much life in as he can, I guess. So.
Yeah, apparently. And he was fun to watch. I mean, he was really fun and really appreciative of being there, all smiles and lots of fist pumping and everything. So, yeah, it was a great story.
I hope he continues to enjoy it for quite a while. And then, you know, maybe in quite a while, we'll see him on the PGA Tour as a pro.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't rush it, man.
Yeah, finish up your high school at least.
We'll be right back after we finish this ad from Titleist, so stay tuned.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back. This week in our forum topic, we're looking at just one of my favorite players. This whole issue comes up.
Your favorite?
One of my favorite, just dripping with sarcasm, my favorite players, Stephen Jeff, Ames,
Jeff
Mr.
Buddy.
Smiley. He's just like so friendly and so humble. Anyway, he's disqualified this weekend.
Add.
No, he can't add. He didn't really add very well. Disqualified for, what did he sign? The wrong scorecard.
Yep. Now, so our forum topic of the week is, what's your opinion on the issue? Should a professional golfer in this modern day and age, when we have scorekeeping out the wazoo, be disqualified for signing a wrong scorecard?
And my opinion on the whole issue is this, is that this is one of those things that is inextricably...
Your opinion is, if it's Stephen Ames, hell yeah. Otherwise...
It's perfect for Stephen Ames. I was and I said when I found out, oh, that's too bad, honey, Stephen Ames, he got disqualified. This is inextricably tied to golf, and I don't think we're going to get rid of this. I mean, there's a fair bit of evidence to say that, yeah, you know, we have scorekeepers now, and is there any reason to do this? But I think that this is part of the game of golf, and that this should continue, just like so many other great traditions in this sport.
And I agree. I think the basic premise, and in fact, I would argue that the one from which all, you know, other tenets of golf spring forth from, is that you're responsible for your own score. Nobody else's. You are entirely responsible for your own score. And that's it. You know, all the other positive things that golf brings about being honest and so on spring forth from that,
yeah.
You know, I think. To change that, to say, you're not really responsible for that. It's just dumb. It doesn't happen that often. You know, it's not like 10 pros a week are disqualified because they got the wrong score. You know, it happens once, twice a year. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a mistake. It happens, but it's such a foundation to golf's code of ethics. It's so basic to golf's code of ethics that I can't see ever changing that rule. That's the way it is. You know, you're responsible for your own score. If you take a lower score, that's cheating. It's a binary thing. You either cheated or you didn't. You're out. If you take a higher score, bummer, you get the higher score.
It's too bad, but I think this goes back, you know, we have a sport that has a grand tradition. This has been around since the sport's been there nearly, and we have to live with this. Hey, listen, these guys are professionals. Why wouldn't a Stephen Ames or any other professional for that matter sit down with their caddy, and this would be part of the business agreement of that 10%, 5%, whatever the heck they give them, to say, hey, let's sit down together, let's look at this, and let's go even to the scorer's tent and look at what the score is, to check it with my card, make sure that we got it right. Then after you get all that done, you sign your scorecard and use that as a check instead of necessarily relying on it.
Well, I can tell you this, Stephen Ames probably didn't pay his caddy, so he's wishing maybe he had offered help.
Yeah, no kidding. That's true. No pay to this weekend.
Oh, well. We'll be right back again after this message from Titleist.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your Titleist.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
And welcome back.
Michelle, he sucks. Woo! Michelle, he sucks. Go away. Play the women's tour.
First article in our Beating Balls segment is Wee bashing. Once golf's darling, Michelle Wee is now getting negative press. Of course, she shot 78, 76 to miss the cut by a long shot. She finished
14.
Next to last, basically, right, in the Sony Open. Of course, Sony being one of her sponsors. I don't care if she plays the Sony Open every year for the rest of her life because she's Hawaiian and Sony's one of her sponsors. So I'll give her that one. But given her performance in the second half of all of last year's tournaments and how she started started off this year, for her own sake, she needs to stop playing men's events. It's not helping. I've given up seeing how shooting 78 can help. When she was doing better, I could see that playing tougher courses would be helpful, but I'm changing my mind now because she's regressed. It's not helping her anymore, if it ever did.
Yeah, and another good point that one of the commentators brought up this weekend is that she was playing injured. You'll see in the story that we have here, she has a taped wrist, and she went out there and really probably played through some injury that she never should have. Plus, was this not one of the most underwhelming lead-ups to a tournament?
Do you think she was actually on injured?
I have no idea.
See, here's something I kept track of for a number of years, being a Steelers fan. Okay. Every time the Bills were losing by more than two touchdowns entering the fourth quarter, for a period of 5 years, Jim Kelly got a concussion or in some way got injured. Every time. And then, of course, Frank Reich would come in and half the time he'd win the game. But every time. So I don't really care for Jim Kelly all that much because he seemed to fake a bunch of injuries. And the idea was put forth that perhaps Michelle Wee or David Lederbetter faked a little bit of an injury. You know, I mean, she could have sprained her wrist 2 weeks ago, and that would be enough to say, oh, yeah, her wrist is sore, when it's not affecting anything.
And this is just a crying shame, because Michelle Wee, and everybody recognizes this, is an outstanding player. I mean, how did she finish in the majors on the LPGA last year?
Top five in all of them, top three in all of them.
How has she done? She has been outstanding. Everybody knows that she's a phenomenal young woman player. And the shame is that she's getting all this bad press because she's really playing in a sandbox she has no business playing in. Right. She should be developing and honing her skills where she belongs, and she really is going to dominate. Maybe at some point in her career, she, like Annika Sorenstam, can play the odd men's event and see if she can qualify. But it's a real shame because she's such a great player.
Yeah, well, she wasn't so much playing in the sandbox as she was taking a dump in it, so... Lorena Ochoa wants to play golf for 5 more years and then retire. A story just came out. She said she wanted to become number one and then end her golf career after 10 years. Of course, she's already in her fifth year playing professional golf. So she basically wants to retire in 5 years.
That's her goal. It's an amazing goal. And she's on track to retire as a number one player. I mean, maybe for her, she knows that she's got an ending point. So she's just, I mean, obviously last year, AP Woman Athlete of the Year just played phenomenally. And she is on track for that number one. Maybe she can do it. And she knows that because it's a short run, it'll happen.
She says, for that reason, I don't want to play more than 10 years in the LPGA. I would like to be a more normal person, to have a family, that God gives me the opportunity to have kids. You know, and Julie Inkster is a prime example of a mother on the LPGA Tour that, you know, the competitive fire burns so deep in her. And I could see, you know, I have a hard time seeing any athlete that competes at that level, that strives and wants to be number one, being able to just say, I'm done. Very few times, very seldom does it happen.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of examples of that. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, anybody who has ever, quote unquote, retired or retired multiple times, they're always back to enjoy the sport that they devoted so much time to. So yeah, I follow you there.
There's nothing to say you can't have a kid as a woman on the LPGA Tour and still play very competitive golf. You know, Meg Mallon won the U.S. Open, the U.S. Women's Open a couple of years ago. She's not even in shape. So, thank goodness we don't get hate mail.
No, that's not yet anyway.
Who else can we make fun of this time?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of people there.
All right, St. Andrews, quick story here. Renamed or finally named their seventh course the Kessel Course.
I don't know. Are we going to call it anything but St. Andrews? You know?
Right.
Of course, we're thinking of the old course there. So
St. Andrews Kessel Course. So now there are seven, and now they all have names. Of course, the only one most people care about is the old course.
Mm-hmm. It's a relief that they finally named it.
Probably the best name out there, the old course.
Mm-hmm.
Final story of the week here. It's a short episode because there's only one tour playing golf right now. Phil Mickelson returns the action this week at the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic. Of course, this year hosted by...
By what's his name? Latino.
The funny Max, George Lopez.
George Lopez, there you go.
5 days, so pick your fantasy people tomorrow because it starts on Wednesday. Of course, you'll probably get this podcast Wednesday, so tough luck. Too late. The 5-day 90-hole Pro-Am event starts Wednesday, of course. Mickelson's first competitive outing since the Ryder Cup almost 4 months ago. And here we have a list of things that have changed since Mickelson last went to his job, so to speak. His world ranking has gone from second to fourth. So Mickelson is now fourth in the world. Jim Furyk, of course, is second. And Adam Scott is third. Since Phil Mickelson now trails Woods by more than 13 points, it was less than 6 last June before he blew up at the U.S. Open, there's considerable doubt that the 36-year-old will ever be number one.
Yeah, and there's a certain reason for that too.
Considerable doubt is an understatement.
Well, considerable doubt that anybody in the next 15 years is going to be world's number one.
Very true. Unless Woods is only going to play golf for 15 years and then retire.
That's possible.
He and Lorena are going to go be AP Athletes of the Year.
For the final time.
Off together sometime.
Together.
Right. 5 more years.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods has gone on winning. Runaway 8-shot success at the American Express. Made it 6 PGA Tour victories in a row. A streak that still continues. We'll be trying to make it 7 January 25th at Torrey Pines the next week. Of course, he also won the PGA Grand Slam of Golf and the Target World Challenge just before Christmas. He also finished 2nd in a couple of non-PGA Tour events. But Phil Mickelson pretty much hasn't done anything in that time. Except maybe, you know, hang out with his family and eat some ice cream.
I was thinking cheeseburgers, but...
Cheeseburgers. Tiger Woods and Elin are expecting their first child, of course, so...
That's really going to affect Phil. I can see that really changing a lot of things for him.
Well, aside from the fact that, see, if Phil were younger, he would have to worry about this guy beating him, too.
True. Or woman.
Or girl, yeah. David Beckham has left the United Kingdom and will be playing in California on a soccer team. On a soccer team that nobody heard of before David Beckham joined them. I'm sorry, by the way, but David Beckham is not going to be able to bring soccer to popularity here. If Pele couldn't do it, Beckham ain't going to do it either. FedEx Cup's points chase has started on the PGA Tour. Again, nobody really cares.
You hear that? It's the sound of nobody caring.
That's right. The Masters is 11 weeks away, and Phil Mickelson is, of course, the defending champion.
This one gets his juices flowing, according to this article.
The odds of... I don't know, but I see Tiger beating Phil this go-around.
Now, here's the thing that I said last week, and I believe, I contend that Phil Mickelson is clueless enough to get out there and play well in 2007. I really don't think... He gets it.
You think he's too stupid to know that he should be falling apart?
I think he just doesn't understand that U.S. Open thing. He doesn't understand. He's going to get out there and just be Phil Mickelson, hit the crazy shots, play good golf, play bad golf. He doesn't care. He's just out there to do his thing.
Okay.
He's in his own world.
The next Ryder Cup is still 20 months away. It could be a 4th straight defeat for the United States unless certain players get their acts together. In preparation, Phil Mickelson has already stopped caring. I added the last bit myself.
Right. And how true that is. Right. That's the Mickelson battle cry is, what?
Huh? Hold on. Huh? I got to test my new equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that about does it for episode 44, thank God, of the Golf Talk podcast. Yeah, I don't know who else we can make fun of.
We got next week for that, so we're good.
There'll be some more news next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, don't worry, everyone.
But don't worry. We'll insult more people next week.
Just relax, everybody.
Calm down. It'll be okay. Yes. Right. Anyway, before we cause any more harm, I better say goodbye. So, bye-bye.
And good night.